One of the ways which we're making the largest impact in education is through experience. Whether it's a tour through the recycling plant to introducing people to sustainable chocolate and or companies that have sustainable actions. Experiencing it firsthand, I think, is the best way for people to see how they can implement those same actions at home.
Welcome to Ecophonia. If saving the planet sounds a little bit daunting, it is. I feel that way too, so I'm talking to experts across industries and across the country to get to the root of how change is really made, in order to help you learn ways to make the world a better place. I'm here to investigate what really makes the biggest impact and to connect you with real people who already have their feet on the ground. For today's episode, I connected with Root Local, a sustainable nonprofit that connects other sustainable nonprofits in Atlanta. Their organization really excites me because their mission is to make it as easy as possible for Atlantans to live more sustainably in all areas of their life. And they do this through a map of all the eco-friendly organizations in the Atlanta area. I really love this because we need all sorts of different people and different organizations to work together to actually make the environment a better place. I spoke with Lee Dalton, the executive director, and Butch Whitfield, one of the co-founders. I think people's backgrounds give important context about who they are today and can help you reframe your own experiences. So I asked Lee and Butch about their backgrounds.
My name's Butch Whitfield. I am co-founder of Root Local. And I believe we started this just by mutual frustration with where we felt like our society was going, our community was going, with whether it was ignorance or whether it was just not knowing where to begin on how to help this issue that we're all facing with environmental impacts our community is having. And so what started off as me complaining on Facebook about community involvement and or ignorance of it, Joanna picked up, my co-founder picked up on it and said, let's do something. And here we are, 4 years later, five years later.
Nice. My name is Lee Dalton. I am the executive director of Root Local, and I got my start with sustainability back in 2010 when my family, my children and I, decided to celebrate Earth Day. And we made an Earth Day cake and we said, happy birthday, Earth, you know, or whatever the case was. And fast forward several years and was involved with the sustainability program that they had at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And that really catapulted the passion that I had and the things that I was doing on my own to the outward, you know, the community and what businesses could do.
Awesome. So then I guess, Butch, for you, how did, like, you saw this was an issue. How did you get into it?
My mom would probably tell you when I was probably 10 and I was looking at all the waste we had around our house, it specifically paper napkins. And I remember her going to a retailer at the time and buying a whole bunch of cotton napkins, which that was one of the first steps. And then in the 90s and 80s, it was recycling and it sort of then grew from there. I mean, we had a farm in Virginia where we grew our own food. It all started with sustenance farming. My parents would come home with bushels of potatoes and tomatoes and cucumbers and corn. It's one of those things that was ingrained with me. So as a kid, it was just always there. So as an adult, it's like, how can I bring that into my own life? Because it was so much healthier back then. And I still don't know how to do that. Right. We're still going on the cotton napkin thing.
And then I guess, Lee, how did you get involved with Root Local?
How I got involved with Root Local is a very cool story. I had heard about Root Local through Mercedes-Benz Stadium, through the Green Team. They sent volunteers. They sent their former executive director over to help us and to do the things that we were doing sustainably, or to do things that involved volunteers, sustainable volunteers in the stadium. And it just so happened that all of the things that I was learning at the stadium and all of the things that I was trying to do over there, there was a change at Root Local at the same time I was having a change at the stadium. And is it called Kismet?
Kismet.
It just happened and it was perfect. And the stars aligned. And that is how I became involved.
Awesome. You guys maybe both touched on it, but is there like sort of a personal experience that reinforced your commitment to sustainability? You're like, this is what I want to do. Was it these things from your late childhood? Was it the Earth Day thing? What was it that, you know, it was like, I want to do sustainability?
I think sustainability is such an important part of my life for the fact that my industry, real estate, whether it's the entertainment aspect of it, whether it's the construction aspect of it, there's so much waste. And I feel like there's so many opportunities, especially for the impact that the real estate market has on our community, to shape how people's thoughts are around not only entertaining, but how you build a home. And it really doesn't cost much more when the planning and or design is done in advance.
Sustainability with me in the past has been vital to having a world that my children can grow up in and can continue to live in. I'm from the north. I'm from Indiana. I love snow. I love cool weather. I am not really, even though I've lived here for many, many years, my blood's thinned out, I am not a person who really, really likes heat. And so, yeah, personally, I don't like all this global warming. I don't like all this climate change because we do get really, really hard snow, but we also get super, super duper hot heat. And to me, that impacts everything. It impacts, you know, what we can do, how much time we can spend out in our yards and in our, you know, having fun outside. And then it obviously affects the bottom line. How much does it cost to cool or heat our homes? How much does it cost to put the money into, you know, making things better in our house because we have to, because the climate is changing so much. And so that is one of the main reasons why I saw that there was a need to do more in the sustainability realm.
So let's talk about Rootlobal. So obviously, Butch, you're one of the co-founders. Can you talk to, I mean, you already touched on it, but like, can you just walk me through sort of founding Rootlobal?
The process of starting an organization like this was really the three of us, my two other co-founders, sitting down and understanding we had three different goals for this organization. So what was recommended to us by the consultant that we hired to assist us with developing this idea was polling our stakeholders. No, talking to our friends, talking to the community, talking to the group, the community leaders about what we needed. And ultimately, the answer we received was, we don't need another environmental nonprofit. There's so many out there. What we need is an organization to help bring everyone together. So this is our mission. This is my elevator speech. We are a backbone organization that brings together all the other environmental groups within the city so that they understand who's operating within each different sector. So we've organized the sectors. So hopefully this will lead to more efficient cooperation, to more collective impact, which obviously is going to lead to a much greater impact than one would have individually.
So can you talk to me about what your mission, like mission statement is, and what's the like why is? I mean, you touched on it already, but like, what is the vision?
We envision a future where Atlantans are able to understand what their environmental footprint is and then make changes on a local scale for a global impact. So the collective impact part of what we try to do as a collective impact backbone organization is to kind of do a little bit of the legwork to know that these people are doing these things over here and these people are doing these things over here. But what if we did it together?
You're facilitating collaboration. How do you guys bring these organizations together specifically?
One of the ways that we bring people together is community events, whether it's tours, whether it's educational opportunities, whether it's cleanup days, whether it's supporting other groups. However, the key element to what we provide is a platform through which organizations register so that when someone wants to learn about various people in clean water, air, forestry, land management, they can go to our network map, our EMMA.
The Eco Map for Metro Atlanta.
And see who supports those initiatives that you're looking to become part of. That platform can then be replicated across the country, across the world. This is our test market to get this worked out and smoothed out so that we can hand this off to other organizations around the world and let them take it for their own communities.
We're trying to make it easy to be environmentally conscious, to do right things right. And one of the ways that you can do that is with your pocketbook, by buying, by supporting, by going to organizations that are doing the things that should be done correctly.
Would you call it conscious consumerism?
Conscious consumerism, but conscious proprietorship as well. Businesses that know that it is more important to do things good for the community as well as the world instead of just having a product to sell.
That's great. So how do organizations get on EMMA?
It's very simple to get on EMMA. All you have to do is sign up, but with some caveats, right? It is very specific to the organizations that are doing the environmental conscious proprietorship, the environmental conscious restaurants and organizations, because we do want it to not just be a map of all the businesses in Atlanta. It has to be the businesses that meet the criteria of being lowering carbon footprint, recycling, doing the composting, those things that are vitally important that we need every business doing needs to be put a spotlight on. And you can, if you're on this map, that means that you're doing something that's quite spectacular.
So what I hear you saying is there's a certain number of parameters that are met by each of the businesses, whether it's for-profit or nonprofit, for you to make it to our map so that when consumers go there, they understand that these companies have already been vetted so that you know who you're working with.
So like if they want to sign up, who vets them to make sure that they're like good to be on, Emma?
For that process, we do look at certifications. We are not the experts of all things. We are leaning on experts that are in this field already that do these things. So, for example, LEED certification, True Zero Waste, some very specific like forestry initiatives, the certified neutral businesses or, processes, those kinds of things are what we will be looking for in order to say, yes, this is definitely an organization or a business that we want on Emma. A couple of wins that we've had with Emma is the people, when we do talk about it to these businesses that are not on it yet, they clamor to get on it. They see it as a place that is going to be very good for their business. They see it as something that a group of businesses and organizations that they want to be a part of.
You're right. Our friends want to make conscious. They want to make good decisions. They just don't know where to begin.
Right.
And this is what allows people to make an educated decision on who they're going to support and where they're going to buy things.
And the businesses that are out there want to be set aside. They want to rise to the top. The question that Emma answers is, where can I? Where can I get sustainable chocolate? Well, we have, an Emma partner that you can get sustainable chocolate from.
Before this conversation, I had talked to Lee about a generous grant they had received from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta to expand Emma. I asked Lee to further elaborate on how they plan on using that money to make the experience using Emma better for all parties involved.
What we are doing with that grant is we are making the map a whole lot more user-friendly. It answers that question of where can I? And you can really see in the Metro Atlanta area where these organizations and these businesses are so that you can actually use it. The businesses that are on there can actually also use it to connect to other businesses doing the same things that they are doing or similar things so that they can collaborate as well. It is a tool that is going to be able to be used or that is being used by individuals as well as businesses and organizations throughout the metro to find like-minded places, like-minded businesses and organizations to help us all grow and be more sustainable in our journey.
Nice. I love that. So let's talk about the pollinator network. What is a pollinator network and then how does it work?
Our pollinator network is the way in which everybody can be involved. We're all bees humming around the city like this, like a beehive. So we're all pollinators. We're looking at this as each person has their own opportunity to affect change and educate others. And we bring that back to the hive.
Much like a bee, the pollinator network gives you the opportunity to pick up tidbits, like just like a bee does with pollen, and drop it off as you go along. Spreading that information, spreading that knowledge that you have with people who don't know it or need to know it, or just to collaborate on and share, the knowledge.
So I want to be a bee. I want to get involved. I want to help share the knowledge, but I don't know anything. How do I get involved and how do I get that knowledge so I can share it?
The first step to getting involved with Root Local and becoming a pollinator is go to our website.
The Pollinator Network does have a form that you can fill out and you can sign up to assist with anything that we're doing. We've got committees, we have volunteers, and then we also have just being in that network to know when we're doing other things with our Emma partners. So I will give you a good example. Concrete Jungle is an organization that we have on Emma, and we went and picked muscadines with them. So we send out, to all the pollinators, we've got this opportunity to help one of our Emma partners, and people sign up, and we all go as a Root Local group, to help this other group do things in the community.
So are all the like pollinator events partnered with organizations from Emma, or are they like other, do you guys do other things too?
Events with Root Local can be Root Local specific events, or it can also be events that are with our partners. When we did our muscadine picking with Concrete Jungle, that was obviously a Root Local opportunity that we put together to go help them. But we have events on our own. For example, we had the World Wildlife Fund Hope, Joy, and Butterflies event that we had at the end of last year. That was an event that was a Root Local event that we worked with one of our partners to produce and to hold.
Specifically, they reached out to us because they needed connections within the community to establish themselves for their own mission. So again, it's a perfect collaboration where that we can use our contacts within the city to help a much larger organization. And it's mutually beneficial. Anybody associated with World Wildlife, they all know the panda. We're a much smaller group, so it was amazing. It was a huge compliment that they would reach out to us to partner on a program such as the butterfly release this fall.
Are there any other sort of success stories you want to talk about?
Sure. So one of the things that is huge with Root Local is the collective impact. And looking at Emma and doing that collective impact story is wonderful because that's when we see it really coming to life. So, for example, we had the opportunity to connect two of our organizations together, completely different industries, completely different lines of work, but it worked perfectly because it was a landscaping organization that needed to have a solution for them to get bulk mulch and put it into bags that they could carry in smaller quantities so that they did not have plastic bags. They were not ordering plastic bags from big box stores or whatever and taking the mulch out. Green Box Homes and Root Local got together with Reloom, which is another one of our organizations, and Reloom was able to fix a solution for them by taking these large, huge super sacks that's made out of plastic that would normally go to landfill and cutting them down into smaller bags that they were able to use in their business as a regenerative landscaping company to cart the mulch and the wood chips or whatever they had to the jobs in a smaller thing without having any additional plastic bags added to the environment.
Clearly, this is your goal with your organization, is to connect organizations like this. Is there like a certain target of how many organizations you want to connect like this? How are you sort of measuring your impact with these organizations that you're connecting?
One of the ways that we measure impact is really based on, you know, what the problem is that we're solving. So, for example, with the Green Box Homes and Reloom collaboration, we were able to remove, just in the very first time that we worked with them, 416 plastic bags out of landfill. And with these bags being reusable and this being something they're going to be able to integrate into their business model, they are expecting to remove an additional 3,600 plastic bags just in a year.
Is there like a certain amount of collaborations you guys are targeting to like between these organizations at all?
One of the ways we measure our success is the number of pollinators we get registered in our organization and the number of hours we can get them to spend with other organizations and how many people we can get involved to make a greater impact for us and the organization, which is rather better impact on our community.
Another way that we can show impact is through the Emma itself, getting more the amount of organizations and businesses that we can get on Emma. Is definitely something that we can measure.
So how are you getting new organizations and new pollinators? Like, is it just through your social media? Is it through direct outreach? How are you like
both.
Getting?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. The way we get additional Emma partners is really by talking to everybody. Who knows who? Something that we've seen, something that we have experienced ourselves. We look at just the low-hanging fruit is businesses that we know of that are talking about their sustainability. There's all different kinds of ways that we can reach out to people or businesses to get them on Emma, but there's no one way because we want them to come to us in any way that they can.
I believe the network map is best exposed probably right now would be through social media, through marketing and other collaborations, just to bring people to that for basically the yellow pages of environmental activism.
Yes.
When you're sort of talking with new people to potentially like network with, is there like, I don't know, a certain way you approach it that makes them more open to it? Or are they like, as soon as you start talking to them, or is they like, oh, this sounds great, we want to be a part of it?
When we talk about our mission and our network map and how we conceived this idea, people are are immediately open to it. It's really exciting being able to share what our mission is and have it received so well.
That's awesome. So I guess, and sort of shifting gears a little bit, what are the six sectors that you guys focus on?
The six sectors that Root Local focuses on is sustainable fashion, canopy and land management, air and water quality, food systems, travel and transportation, and construction.
So I guess you said they did kind of go through like iterations and change, but like, where did they come from and why do you have them?
We developed our sectors because of polling our stakeholders. We asked them, what is the most important part of environmental activism, and or where do we want to focus? Where do you want us to focus? Honestly, when we polled our stakeholders, it was evenly distributed between all of these sectors. So that was one of the challenging parts for us, as to how do we tackle this all at the same time? That's essentially where all this came about, was just asking our friends in the community where they needed us to focus, and this is what we were given. Our focus is because of this background work, this legwork that we did. So we're not just out there just doing stuff. We've hired consultants. We've had the fortunate opportunity to have the funds to have the people to allow us to poll our stakeholders and ask people what they need from us and where they need us to focus. It's been a really interesting, enlightening experience, because I never would have come to this conclusion. I really would have thought that people would have been weighed different on whether it be fashion or food or transportation or water or forest. It was evenly distributed, which was really enlightening to us. The challenge is, how does a new organization distribute equal focus on each one of these?
One of the things that I have found since I've been here with all of the sectors is that even though we silo them out and say that it's a food sector or it's a transportation sector, what we found is that you can't have one without the other. And so while we do talk about them as very specific individual things, they all go together.
They're all interconnected. For instance, when we're throwing an event for fashion, transportation's involved, food's involved. We found ourselves also creating silos again, which was what we were also looking to break up. So it's been a learning process for us too, but it really comes down to our main core is the backbone organization that brings together all the other organizations within the city so that we have better communication.
One of the things the sectors helps us do is really focus on what is the most important things when we do go to do an event, finding places that, you know, are close to MARTA so that people can use an alternative transportation if they can and if they choose to do so, or using a restaurant that does compost. We use them as kind of pillars for us to keep our focus on what we're supposed to be doing when we are doing these activations out in the community.
These practices can be overwhelming when you're a new organization. What our goal is to help you understand what steps you can take to make your simple dinner with friends or a picnic in the park more sustainable. The organizations you can call to help you cater the event for your open house or a birthday party. We want to make this attainable for everybody. We want to do the legwork so that you don't have to. It's something as simple as going to our website, learning who's in which organization and or which business to hire to help you meet the goals. It's simple as that.
Yeah, no, that's huge. The interconnectedness is something that I want to be touching on with this podcast in general. Clearly, I guess you guys are doing the legwork, but how can maybe somebody who's like, okay, I want to do more sustainable things, but obviously, like, okay, there's transport. If I think about transportation, I think about food, I think about my clothing, it's overwhelming, but it's all interconnected. So
it's just exactly what I just said right there, I think.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming. We were overwhelmed. One of the experiences we just had was the opportunity to meet with our sustainable chocolatier, and the fact that they've done all the legwork. It took them 2 years to find a sustainable product to put their chocolate into. Now that they've got this backyard compostable chocolate bag, basically, they can take that, and also too, that was manufactured in the United States, that now they can share that vendor with other people who are interested. So it's a matter of all these people talking about the products and services they're using to better their own business, so that hopefully too, it'll bring down the bottom line. Because these things I've heard are like 10 times more expensive to use these products. However, with the buying power, when we start collectively purchasing these materials, I think it'll be more attainable for the small business as well as the large.
Again, it's more of that collective impact that we are here to amplify and to obviously promote. But to the question, what can you do to get started? Go to rootlocal.org and look at Emma. That is going to help you because we are doing the legwork. We are trying to get, or we are putting these organizations together. You will start thinking, can I take Marta to the sustainable chocolate place to buy the chocolate for, you know, the for my Valentine?
So how you guys do a lot of events? How do you guys pick which ones to have each month?
In our first year active, we held over 70 events throughout the city, pulling together volunteers and organizations. And what we found was, as we're evolving here, that we needed to be more impactful at a smaller scale.
For 2025, we are focusing more on our network partners, making a bigger impact and showcasing more of what they have to offer and the reason why they are on the map.
Utilizing our network partners is a key focus of our mission.
What strategies does Root Local employ to educate and empower Atlantans to understand their environmental footprint?
One of the ways which we're making the largest impact in education is through experience, whether it's a tour through the recycling plant or composting company to introducing people to sustainable chocolate and or companies that have sustainable actions. Experiencing it firsthand, I think, is the best way for people to see how they can implement those same actions at home.
One of the other ways that we are educating Atlantans is through our website. When you go to the website, you can look up whichever one of the sectors that you are most interested in, and you can find stats and facts about some very harrowing things that are out there and the reason why we are focusing on those particular sectors. We also do the same thing through our newsletter. Each one of our newsletters are filled with, you know, tips and tricks to be more sustainable and to certainly visit with a lot of our Emma partners, but also things that you can do just on your own where it doesn't take any outside force. It's what you can do, you know, on your own, in your own home and in your own life.
Awesome. So like through your, you know, building Root Local and being involved with this, have you guys found stuff personally that you have now adopted into your practices that you weren't doing before?
What part of my life is not affected? I mean, when we first started this organization, I felt like I already had sustainable practices in my life. However, I had no idea what the simple things that I wasn't doing. And I felt the firsthand experience of being a little overwhelmed. However, just taking a couple of different steps every month, just by simply who you're choosing to buy your products, your cosmetics or your lotions or your soaps or your towels from, it's really just conscious consumerism. A lot of it is based on just simple things. We don't need to do recycling perfectly. We need that millions of people to do it imperfectly. We just need everybody to participate in just the smallest way. It will make the biggest impact.
One of the things since I've worked with Root Local is definitely taking it to the next level of, you know, talking the talk and walking the walk. Definitely want to make sure that I'm trying products, that I am trying to make sure that I am doing right things right, because I do want to talk about it. I'm not 100% an expert on any of these things, but when I do speak of it, I do want to speak intelligibly, and I do want to speak so that people will understand, you know, the positives of adopting more of the practices, or, you know, shopping at a certain place, maybe paying a little bit more, maybe not going so much for the Amazon purchases, or, you know, just the one of the big things is just the no consumerism. Don't just stop. That's huge for me.
I think the question I ask people is, what are you willing to do? You know, some people aren't willing to buy a battery-powered car. They're expensive. However, you can consolidate your Amazon shipping day to one day a week, and maybe you incorporate your friends to do the same. You know, it's what are you willing to do?
What are some upcoming events or initiatives that you guys are particularly excited about?
For the events that we have planned for 2025, we are really swinging for the fences. We have got some really great opportunities to get out into the public, to work with our partners, as we have talked about.
And have fun.
And one of the biggest things that we're going to do to have fun is on Earth Day in April, we are going to have our very first comedy show, Comedy to Save the Planet. And it is going to be wonderful. We also have the Think Native First Plant conference is coming up in September. And that is something that is, I think, is going to make a huge impact in the community, as well as hopefully in the industry of nurseries and plants, because it is vital that we start thinking of native plants when we talk about climate change.
And we also have another upcoming collaboration with World Wildlife Fund. The details of that are yet to be removed. Details coming.
Nice. Why did you guys decide to do a comedy show?
The reason why we decided to do a comedy show is because we love to laugh. And if you don't laugh, you're going to start crying, right? Everybody learns in a different way. And these kinds of things can be really, really hard. And if people think you're hitting them over the head with it, they might turn the opposite way. But we think with comedy, you can really touch a whole lot of people in a lot of different ways. And it resonates with a lot of people more so than, you know, than just your basic, you know, preaching. The comedy to save the planet idea came from a friend of mine who is a comic, Brandon Duncan, and here in Atlanta. And he and I were talking about all kinds of things. And I said, well, you know, what's not funny is climate change. And he said, hold my beer.
That's right. So is the comedy show going to be about, like, is there going to be like playing off of climate change, or is it just kind of like comedy and raising money for like sustainability kind of purposes?
We have asked the comedians to have climate, you know, jokes or, you know, planet specific jokes to really bring awareness through comedy, which so many things, you know, are done that way, to talk about a super heavy concept in a very lighthearted way that gets the point across.
Root Local has a lot of great upcoming events, so I asked Lee for one final stinger about how to get involved.
Definitely check out rootlocal.org for information on all of our events, all of our pollinator opportunities, events that are happening outside of Root Local as well, to get involved in the community and get involved with making it a greener, better place.
I'd like to thank Lee and Butch for taking the time to be interviewed. If you'd like to connect with Root Local, their information will be in the description. If you're on Spotify or YouTube, go ahead and drop a comment about what you found most enlightening about this conversation, and I will see all of you in the next episode.